Anyways, hey, that was an awesome week. Thank you again for all those who helped out in any way, whether you're helping with the kids, whether you're a leader, whether you're helping with someone, helping with the front desk with administration, whether you're cooking meat on Friday night or cooking any kind of food for that matter. If you helped out in any way for VBS, thank you so much for helping. Actually, if you helped out in any way, could you please stand so we could acknowledge you? That'd be great. Yeah, lots of people helped out. Thank you so much for serving. You may be seated. And thank you so much, Sherry, for leading us that past week. I want to also just quickly thank Steve for preaching in my absence last week. I was on vacation, had a good time, but I'm back today preaching, obviously, in front of you today. I just want to let you know as well that next week I will be here, but someone else will be preaching. As we enter the summer months, we have a bit of pulpit supply. And so this coming week, we're going to have Dave from St. Matthew's come in and share a message with us, which should be great. But today I want to put together a simple message that complemented what the children did this past week in VBS, keeping an eye out for God's work in our lives. Now, interestingly, our church has been working through, we're working with a church consultant. We took a survey recently, we had a number of people involved in that, and it highlighted that one of the areas that we need to work on as a church, actually, is taking time to see how God is working in our lives. Go figure. And spending more time with him in prayer and Bible study. And so conveniently, the theme of the VBS camp actually fits very well with what we need to hear as a church. And so it's not just the children that need to hear this message, it's the adults too, and people of all ages. And so what I want to focus on today is finding ways to remember and record what God has done in our lives. And so my message has been entitled, Remember for Goodness Sake. And it's the passage is from Psalm 77. And so as we talk about remembering for God's sake and for our sake and for others' sake, I'm going to close the message with a very practical challenge to help us remember and record what God has done for us. Let me pray and we'll jump into the passage. Lord, thank you once again for an awesome VBS week, and thank you for the children and the children's ministry and how they're involved in singing songs about you and learning about you and drawing close to you. We pray that you would continue to bless the children's ministry, children's church, future VBS programs, and that these young lives will just fall in love with you and would continue to grow in you as the years and months and weeks progress. Lord, we pray that you would bless the preaching and teaching of your word now, and we pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. And actually, just before we jump into Psalm 77, just a couple of things I quickly want to mention. I saw Jerry and Connie Robinson. They are here today somewhere. And over there. And they'll be greeting us officially, I guess, next week for a few minutes. And I'm not going to say anything too official now, but I know the McVitie's have had a change in their ministry. And maybe I should get my facts straight before I say anything about that. But you can ask them directly if you have any questions about the change that God has made in their ministry, which sounds pretty cool how God has worked all those details out. So you can ask them after the service. So the passage we're working with today is Psalm 77. I'm going to start reading at verse 1. Verse 1 says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. And so the psalmist in this psalm, he's in serious distress. We don't know exactly what he's going through or what the issue is, but he's crying out to God. And I'm sure many of us here can relate to the psalmist. Maybe there's someone here today, maybe you've lost a loved one recently, and that was a distressing time for you. Maybe there's someone here, you've experienced a relationship breakdown, and that's been a time of distress for you. I just know of someone in my life who's just having a hard time even praying because they're having a relational breakdown right now. Maybe you've experienced a significant financial loss. Maybe there's someone here, maybe it's a different kind of a stressful thing that's going on in your life. Maybe there's someone here being bullied or being persecuted in some way. Maybe there's someone here who has gone through a scary health crisis. Actually, there's a lot of people I know in our church who have gone through scary health crisis, and we've been praying for them, and so on. The list can continue on. There's many things that we can be stressed out about in life. I'm sure we've had moments of distress, though, whether it's been in the past, the present, or the future, we will have, where we've had times of distress, where we've cried out to the Lord in anguish in some way. So we can relate to the psalmist here. Verse 3 to 6 says this. He says, I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked. Now, I want you to listen in before we read these next questions. Whatever it is you have gone through, moments of distress you have gone through in the past, maybe moments of distress you're going through now, have you ever asked these kinds of questions? So the psalmist asks, he says, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? So in other words, has the Lord rejected me? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? In other words, does he love me? Does God love me? Does he care? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? In other words, does God care? Is he merciful? Is he compassionate? Is he a mean God? Sometimes life can get so overwhelming that we start to take our frustrations out on God and we ask these questions, does God really care? Does he really love me? Has he rejected me? Has he forgotten about me? God, what's the deal, man? I've been going through this stressful thing and you don't seem to be answering at least the way I want you to and in a timing that I want you to. What in the world, God, is going on? And so maybe there's someone here, sitting here today, you are legitimately asking these kinds of questions right now, whatever distressful thing you're going through. And these might be legitimate questions for you. And so for you today, if that's you, this might be all you need to hear today. If you've ever felt that God has forgotten about you, know that Jesus knows exactly what you feel like. You know, when Jesus was dying on the cross, after he was beaten and bloody, a moment away from dying, he shouted out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so there were moments where Jesus felt forsaken. Now, of all people, Jesus knows exactly what you feel like if you're feeling forsaken by God for some reason today. But as we come back to the psalm, the psalmist's solution to his distress is the following. He says, then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his hand. He says this, listening to verse 11 in particular, he says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. And so the psalmist's solution to his distress was to remember what the Lord had done for him. And remembering is what we want to focus on today. I'm going to close off the passage by just reading the rest of what he says here. And I want you to listen in to how he artistically remembers God's work in his life. Starting at verse 13 to the end of the psalm. He says, your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea as a tree. Your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And of course, the psalmist primarily has in mind what we've actually been going through as a church recently in Exodus, how God had worked through the Israelites and how he had saved them in so many miraculous ways. And so with that psalm that we just read and shared, I've got three simple points that I want to talk about today. So the message is entitled, Remember for Goodness Sake. But there's three reasons why we remember what God has done in our lives. There are three points I want to make here today. And the first is that we remember for God's sake. The second point is that we remember for my sake. And the third point is that we remember for others' sake. So let's talk about the first point. We remember for God's sake. You know, there are many passages where God commands his people to remember what he did for them. And he does that so that he has the honor and the glory that he deserves. There's a passage in Isaiah where God is speaking out against the Israelites because they had gotten involved in worshiping false idols. And it says this in Isaiah 46. It says, "Do not forget this, keep it in mind, remember this, you guilty ones." And then he says in verse 9, he says, "Remember the things I have done in the past. For I alone am God, I am God, and there is none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish." And so the key that I wanted to highlight in this passage is that God is commanding them to remember what he did for them, because he deserves the credit, the glory, and the honor. And, you know, one of the meaningful ways that we can remember what God has done for us is by participating in communion. And actually, we're going to participate in communion today. And communion reminds us that we were lost in our sin without God. It reminds us that God solved the problem by sending his perfect son to die on the cross for our sins, so that we can be made right with him to those who put their faith in Jesus. And as you partake in the bread, we recite Jesus' words, which is the following: "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And as you remember the incredible things that God has done in the Old Testament and for his people, and what God has ultimately done through Jesus, it naturally causes us to worship him, which brings God glory. It puts God in his rightful place as one who is worthy of worship, one who is worthy of praise and glory. And so the first reason why we remember what God has done for us is for God's sake. We remember for God's sake. The second point, again, we remember for my sake. You know, there are many people here who are struggling with different things in life. And sometimes we will share these things with other believers. Sometimes you might share these struggles in a small group setting. Other times you might tell the world through Facebook our struggles. For others, we might just bottle up our struggles to ourselves. We don't want to share it with anyone. And what ends up happening sometimes is we keep our eyes on our struggles and our circumstances. And for many of us, this can lead to a downward spiral of depression and anxiety when we focus and keep our eyes on our struggles and things that distress us. But when we take a moment and when we remember what God has done for us, when we take a moment and we remember how God has blessed us, it has a way of pulling us out of our misery. And you know, when you move your eyes, when you turn your eyes from your struggles to God, it has a way of turning our wallowing into worship. You know, whenever I get down about something I feel is unfortunate about my life, and I start counting how God has blessed me, it quickly starts to warm my soul and change my perspective as I go from focusing on my circumstances to focusing on what God has done for me in the past. As you know, this seems to be exactly what the psalmist is doing here in Psalm 77. He starts with his distressing circumstances, and the psalmist could have spent his entire psalm just talking about all the stressful, sad things in his life, and he could have just did one sad psalm, but he didn't. He pivoted halfway through. And he starts to remember what God had done for him, and you get the sense that this peace and the sense of relief was starting to overcome his heart. There's a Christian writer by the name of Anne Voskamp who has experienced tragedy in her life. And I watched a video of her sharing a bit of her testimony where she, as a young child, had unfortunately with the rest of her family had witnessed a tragic accident where one of her siblings passed away right in front of them in a farming accident. Very, very sad and distressing thing for anyone to experience. But I want to share with you a couple of quotes from her as she grew up. She became an adult, she became a writer, and she shares a few things here. And I want to read just a couple of quotes from Anne Voskamp. And the first one is this: "The answer to deep anxiety is a deep adoration of God." I think that's so true. Here's another one: "If God didn't withhold from us his very own son, will God withhold anything we need?" Man, that's a great question. And I think we already know the answer to that. Whatever it is we're going through, just remember, man, God gave us his son. God will surely give us everything we need to get through whatever difficult circumstance we're going through. And we're going to remember that in a moment with communion. When we worship and we remember what God has done, we will find our greatest joy, our greatest contentment, our greatest peace. I love what Psalm 16:11 says. It says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." And so remember, what God has done is actually for our benefit. It brings us true, lasting joy and eternal pleasures. So number one, we remember for God's sake, to put him in his rightful place as one who deserves our worship. But number two, we remember for my sake, for our sake. Number three, we remember what God has done for others' sake. There's a really neat story in Joshua 3 and 4 where the Israelites have to cross another large body of water. They have to cross the Jordan River when it was at flood stage. And depending on where you are in the river, it can be between 400 and 3,000 meters across to cross this river. So it's a very wide, large, impressive river. They had to cross, and so God decided to help them out. And as they were walking, the ark of the Lord, as soon as those carrying the ark had touched the water, the river had stopped. It had stopped flowing, and all the Israelites, the entire nation, had crossed this river. And they didn't just cross it, but they crossed it on dry ground. It's an incredible story. You can read it on your own later. And after everyone had crossed, God had allowed this large river to return to flood level again. But before God would let the river flow again, he commanded them to gather 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel from the middle of the Jordan where the priests were standing, and he told them to go make a memorial for these with these stones, from these stones. Well, why? Why did God ask them to do that? Well, the answer is given in Joshua 4, verse 6 to 7. It says, "In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, people, tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." And so, in other words, the Israelites set up a memorial so that future generations would remember what God did for them, so that future generations would put their faith in God. I want to close by sharing a story with you I found in a book called Spiritual Disciplines by Donald Whitney. I'm sharing this quote from a chapter written about journaling. And he says, "We may never know the future spiritual impact of something we write today. My dad died suddenly on August 20th, 1985. He was the manager of a small town radio station. Each morning, he hosted a 30-minute program of music and local news. On his desk, I found the devotional material he had used to begin his final broadcast. He had read the words to William Cowper's hymn, 'God Moves in a Mysterious Way.' Finding his initials in August 19th, 1985, written beside these lines of faith, has given me more comfort and spiritual strength than anything said to me by anyone else. After his death, his old guitar became one of my most cherished possessions. His early days as an announcer came during the time when almost everything on radio was broadcast live. He had a popular show of his own in which he played his guitar and sang. On my first Thanksgiving day without a dad, I was rummaging around in the guitar case. In it, I found more than a dozen old letters postmarked within a few days after my birth. Every one of them was from his listeners writing to rejoice with him that my mother and I had survived a difficult birth. They noted that it was obvious he was very proud of me and referred to remarks he had made on the air about his gratitude to the Lord for my arrival. I sat in the floor by the open case with these scraps of my heritage and wept tears of thanksgiving to the Lord for this remnant of his life. How precious it would be if only more of his walk with God were recorded for me in a journal." He goes on to say, "Never underestimate the power of a written record of faith acting as a spiritual time capsule." The writer of Psalm 102, verse 18, and we have this verse for you on the screen, recognized it when he said of his experience with God, "Let this be written for a future generation that a people not yet created may praise the Lord." And so when we find ways to remember and record what God has done for us, it is a way of drawing loved ones and future generations into relationship with God. And so we remember for others' sake. So just to review my points here, we need to remember what God has done for us. And we remember 3 points. We remember what God has done for God's sake to put him in his rightful place of one who is worthy of worship. We remember for my sake, because when we remember what God has done, it has a way of taking your eyes off our distressing circumstances and onto God, which is, in the end, is the best for us. And number 3, we remember for others' sake, for future generations to put their faith in Jesus as well. And so I told you I was closing, but I'm going to close with a challenge. You'll have some more details in the bulletin, in theory. But we want to remember what God has done in their life. So over the summertime, I want to encourage families to record a handful of memories or handful of stories of how God has blessed you or helped you or answered prayer. And I want to encourage you to record these stories or pictures in some kind of a journal, or maybe have a document on your computer where you do this. Or I think maybe perhaps the best idea for the summertime is to have a dedicated wall where you slap pictures and stories on the wall of how God has done incredible things with your family. Now, interestingly, the children have done something like this past week. They got a tree out there in the foyer, and they have some green leaves that are kind of sprouting from the tree, and each of the leaves has a moment where they saw God at work in their lives. And I just read a few this morning. I read how one child said how God healed their broken arm and leg. Someone else had mentioned how God had saved them from drowning. Here I read something else. I can't remember all of them, but there's a bunch of good ones on there, and I would encourage you to read them on your way out. But you can even do something exactly like that this summertime, where you just post simple sentences or stories or pictures of what God has done for you. And as I was thinking about this the past couple weeks, it kind of got me excited to do this with my own family. Now, just for one example, it doesn't matter if it's big things or small things. We had Grandma and Grandpa visit us this past week, and we were praying almost every day that God would unblock her ear. She had an ear blockage. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor cleared her ear, and we thanked God for that. Maybe there's someone else. You're starting a new job, or you bought a house. There's something bigger that happened in your life. Well, you should record that. You could also include in any way that how God has answered your prayers. And if you're feeling really adventurous, maybe you can write down a really special story of how God protected or provided for you in the past that you've been telling yourself for a long time, man, I got to write this down, because if I were to pass away, God forbid, if I were to pass away, my children wouldn't know about this particular story in my life. And so maybe you need to write down some past stories of how God has helped you and slap that on the wall. And as you progress over the summertime, feel free to send in some pictures of your wall, your journal, so that you can encourage others. That'd be awesome. In addition, if you have some neat stories of how God has worked in your lives this summertime, maybe you can use some of those stories for our testimony service that we typically have at the end of the year. And again, there's more details in the bulletin if you're interested in doing that. But right now, we're going to transition now into a time of communion. So for those who are helping with communion, I'd like to encourage you to come forward to help with that. And I'm just going to pray as we transition into our time of communion now. Lord, we thank you for all the ways you have blessed us in our lives, all the ways you've protected us. And we also thank you for all the ways we don't even recognize or know that you've blessed us or protected us. Lord, help us to never take you for granted. Help us to never forget what you've done for us, and especially the sacrifice that you made through your son, Jesus. We pray to the Lord that you will bless us now as you move into our time of communion.